Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, that thy people may shun all the wiles of the devil and with pure mind follow thee, the only God. Words of the collect this morning and from the lesson we heard, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen. There was a man in the land of Hus, whose name was Job. And that man was simple and upright and fearing God and avoiding evil. So begins the book of Job. Yet as the story of Job relates over many chapters, some friends came to comfort him, but instead became suspicious that he was guilty of something grave. They had convinced themselves that this was so, and they knew their theology well. Thus, they spent all their time trying to get Job to confess, to own up. What is it, Job? At the end, after much trial, verbal gymnastics, including a sort of open examination of conscience by Job himself, he went through all the commandments and said, I haven't done these things. The Lord came in a whirlwind and told the troublesome comforters how wrong they really were. He revealed how Job had not sinned at all, but rather they themselves had sinned and were in need of a mediator, namely Job himself, to get back into God's good graces. What causes this sort of situation to develop? Well, one of the causes is suspicion. Suspicion is the mortal enemy of a happy community, the mortal enemy of recollection in our own souls and peace of soul. So a couple of Sundays ago, I put a bookmark on this subject and I said we would take it up later. We're going back to our bookmark today. Turning to St. Thomas Aquinas, in a discussion under the virtue of justice, in the discussion of just judgments, he teaches this. Suspicion denotes evil thinking based on slight indications. Evil thinking based on slight indications. Well, let us note at the start that we're dealing with the natural law here, such as a right to a reputation or the health of a community. Thus, unjust judgments flowing from suspicion or slight indications are not just uncharitable, but unjust. So to judge justly of our neighbors, our minds must be fully informed, our reason must be certain, and our motive solid. And this requires much information and time. And this is why the scriptures speak of the need for two or three witnesses before accusations can be taken seriously. Consequently, those who judge without recourse to prudent reason very often judge on slight indications, little things that make them suspicious. I hope this is ringing bells. I think we've all been through this. That such judgments are made so easily in our time should not surprise us. Because this is the age of conspiracy. The explanations given for major happenings in the world, in our country, seem hollow. Couple that with fake news and the repeated failures and scandals of those in positions of authority, trust begins to wane. What is more, we are very much influenced by modern thought, which says with Immanuel Kant, have the courage to use your own understanding. You don't have to submit to anybody else. Have the courage to use your own understanding. Or how about René Descartes' famous, I think, therefore I am. That's the father of modern thought, René Descartes. We figure we know. We figure we can rely on our own powers of judgment based on this modern way of thinking. Add on to this the impatience built into our daily life in this technological age, as well as the victim mentality that is so prevalent, where everyone points the finger at somebody else for the causes of his woes. We have a diabolical formula for suspicion to germinate and grow like noxious weeds. Turning again to St. Thomas, he lists three main causes for suspicion. That is evil thinking based on too little information. He says first, from a man being evil in himself. And from this very fact, as though conscious of his own wickedness, he is prone to think evil of others. This is the proverbial log in the eye that sees the speck everywhere outside itself. I have found that time and time again, suspicious people have serious issues in their own life, and they have not successfully dealt with them. Thus, they look to solve problems elsewhere to satisfy themselves that they are, after all, okay. Once again, that should ring bells. Haven't we all fallen into this trap? Second of all, St. Thomas says, this is due to a man being ill-disposed toward another. For when a man hates or despises another, or is angry with or envious of him, he is led by slight indications to think evil of him, because everyone easily believes what he desires. So anger and frustration act like magnifying lenses, making specks, slight indications, become logs, molehills become mountains. So first thing, man being evil in himself, from that very fact, as though conscious of his own wickedness, is prone to think evil of others. Secondly, this is due to a man being ill-disposed towards another, says St. Thomas. And then he gives a third reason. This is due to long experience. Wherefore the philosopher, that is Aristotle, says that old people are very suspicious, for they have often experienced the faults of others. In other words, someone who's been through combat is leery. St. Thomas then continues, consequently, suspicion denotes a certain amount of vice. And the further it goes, the more vicious it is, says St. Thomas. And here he names three degrees of suspicion. The first degree is when a man begins to doubt of another's goodness from slight indications. This is a venial and a light sin, for it belongs to human temptation without which no man can go through this life. So we're all going to suffer from that. We have indications and we start to think, we have to fight. He says the second degree is when a man from slight indications esteems another man's wickedness as certain. This is a mortal sin, he says. If it be about a grave matter, since it cannot be without contempt of one's neighbor. Notice he does not say if it's found to be false or if it's true. He doesn't add that. He's saying you've held your neighbor in contempt from slight indications, and may be right, but you've committed a sin too. Interesting. If then, he says, we cannot avoid suspicions because we are human, we must nevertheless restrain our judgment and refrain from forming a definite and fixed opinion. My grandfather got out of this trap by often saying, we'll see, let's be patient, we'll see. And now the third degree involves someone in authority, like a judge. When you go so far as to condemn a man on suspicion, says St. Thomas, this pertains directly to injustice and consequently is a mortal sin. A miscarriage of justice, obviously. Now note the common thread throughout all this, and St. Thomas repeats it numerous times, is slight indications. Not enough information to make a sound judgment. So to avoid this then, let's strive to delay, to distract or restrain our judgment. St. Philip Neri told us a way to do that. He wisely stated, the sanctity of a man lies in the breadth of three fingers. And he put them to his forehead. He says, that is to say, in mortifying the understanding, which would fain reason upon things. Sometimes we think about things too much. He says, put three fingers to your forehead and say, we'll see, we'll see. If we think too much on the slight indications or have too much free time to ponder such things, we will soon be making judgments that are unjust and sinful. St. Thomas then indicates in a follow-up article another way to escape from the trap of suspicion, namely, always to give the benefit of the doubt, to put things in the best light possible. He points out that in giving the facts a happy interpretation, we may occasionally or even often make wrong judgments. But at the same time, we will not commit sins of injustice. Here's the exact quote. "It is better to err frequently through thinking well of a wicked man than to err less frequently by having an evil opinion of a good man. Because in the latter case, an injury is inflicted, but not in the former." Better to give the happy interpretation and do without sinning than to be right. Another solution we are taught from the earliest times in the church is to seek the proper channels for concerns. Time and time again, it's been proven that when the soul laboring under suspicion seeks the proper authority, they regain their peace and the devil is disarmed. If anyone has a concern, the church and the state both have pathways through which the resolution can be sought. Granted, they don't always work, but at least you did your part and your conscience is clear. And if need be, you can go to the next level, etc., etc. St. John of the Cross wrote some precautions about seeking holiness in a community, speaking mostly to religious, but it fits us too. St. John of the Cross has us avoid suspicion of others altogether by not examining or considering what others are doing so much, but rather to flee from these things, lest the devil start to work on us and deceive us. Here is the exact quote. Two of them. "Do not think about others, neither good things nor bad, unless, obviously, you're in a position you have to, position of authority." He says, "Flee them inasmuch as possible. And if you do not observe this practice, you will not be able to reach holy recollection or deliver yourself from imperfections. And if you should wish to allow yourself some freedom in this matter, the devil will deceive you in one way or another. Or you will deceive yourself under some guise of good or evil." St. John of the Cross, thank you. He's an expert, a mystical doctor. He knows what he's talking about. In another place, he says this, "Very carefully guard yourself against thinking about what happens in the community, and even more against speaking of it. Of anything in the past or present concerning a particular person, nothing about his or her character or conduct or deeds, no matter how serious any of this may seem. Do not say anything under the color of zeal or of correcting a wrong, unless at the proper time to whomever by right you ought to tell." He's saying you have a chain of authority, you have a pathway to resolve issues, use the proper pathway. Then he says, never, which is hard, especially in our time, "never be scandalized or astonished at anything you may happen to see or learn of, endeavoring to persevere or preserve your soul in forgetfulness of all that." Thank you, St. John of the Cross. He knows what he's talking about, folks. As he was falsely accused and rashly judged, the Carmelites, resisting his reforms, were convinced he and the other reformed Carmelites and the friars were up to no good. After capturing St. John, they imprisoned him in a tiny dungeon in the Toledo Carmel, feeding him only bread and water for the most part, beating him daily, all to break him down and make him confess. He was Job all over again. These were fellow Carmelites. But they could not find anything wrong with him. He did not complain. He kept his peace. They could not get him to confess to anything or to return to their mitigated way of life. After some time, many started to doubt the accusations, especially when they saw unnatural light, oftentimes coming from his tiny dungeon. They decided he must either be a saint or a sorcerer. Where there was no love, St. John put love and drew out love. His jailer lightened up on him and he escaped like a bird from the fowler. Later he would say, God has a terrible way of treating his friends, and in truth he does them no wrong, since that was the way he treated his son. Sounds like something out of the book of Job. And instead of complaining about his treatment and near death by starvation, he said, they are free now from the faults which my wretchedness made them commit. He considered the mitigated friars his benefactors, for in that cell, he formulated the prayer, the poem, The Dark Night of the Soul, and the Ascent of Mount Carmel, from which he wrote his greatest works. Let us strive, dearly beloved, to avoid the disturbances suspicions cause us and others. By seeking out the proper channels or our superiors when we have a concern. By being suspicious of our own motives and thoughts before we consider things wrong with those around us. And by putting things in their best light, striving to prevent ourselves from making any definite conclusions, as St. Thomas advises. Again, we heard in the prayer, grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, that thy people may shun all the wiles of the devil and with pure mind follow thee, the only God. And in the lesson, with all humility and mildness, with patience, supporting one another in charity, careful to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.